Hello, Reiki professionals. Welcome and thank you so much for your time. I'd like to talk to you about something that is not really addressed in the Reiki community. And it's a very, very important topic. Some Reiki practitioners get flustered when someone has an objection or even questions them. That's not helpful and it's not necessary. My advice is, don't take it personally. See it for the opportunity it is. People who aren't interested will rarely ask questions or make objections. When someone objects, they're often trying to talk themselves out of something. That means they actually see value, but they don't see themselves in the situation. It's not yet a fit. They're not confident they'll have a good outcome. Would you like to be able to address those situations better from a place of calm confidence, from a place of service? I'm Pamela Miles, and I've been a Reiki professional since 1986. Starting in the 90s, I was drawn into medical collaboration, starting the first in-hospital Reiki program here in New York City. I was so anxious at my first medical presentation. I felt like my knees were visibly knocking. Doctors are such authority figures in this culture. It can be easy to forget they're human, just like us. They're human and they're critical thinkers. So they ask more questions than most people. Doctors make life-changing recommendations, and they have to figure out for themselves what's the best way to go. They really don't trust other people's opinions, even other doctors. I knew they weren't likely to trust the Reiki master's opinions, so I kept my opinions to myself. I quickly realized that doctors generally ask questions if they're interested in something. Because if they're not interested, they've already left the room. I started to view each question not as an affront, but actually as a good sign and an opportunity to continue the conversation. In the decades since that first presentation, I've spent a lot of time talking about Reiki practice to people who challenged me. And I have insights and strategies that can help you when people have various objections to what you're saying. The first thing I want to encourage you to do is to be honest with yourself. How do you feel when you're talking about Reiki and someone questions you, or worse, someone makes a snarky comment about Reiki? Do you shrink or feel offended, embarrassed, or intimidated? Are you afraid of an impending confrontation? If any of the above, please know you're not alone. It's very common, and maybe especially common among Reiki practitioners who are often sensitive. How much of a difference might it make to you as a Reiki professional to be able to be calm and steady in this situation of addressing people's objections? As a Reiki professional, you're a content expert, and experts are expected to be confident in their knowledge and their experience. They're not expected to engage in meaningless arguments that don't go anywhere. So a good rule of thumb is, don't continue a conversation with someone who's belligerent and disrespectful. They're not really interested in your expertise or in a conversation, and it won't end well. Excuse yourself or change the subject. Ask them about themselves. That's likely the topic they're most interested in. But if you feel that a person is up for a conversation, if they're respectful, realize this is a moment when Reiki practitioners can really shine. You can be a walking product of your practice by engaging in a calm manner and showing genuine interest in their perspective by staying rooted in service. This is a time to share information only as it's requested. That means staying in conversation, not launching into a Reiki monologue propelled by your understandable enthusiasm for your practice. Avoid persuasion. Don't try to convince the person. If you can convince someone, you wind up with a dependent client. Is that what you want? Somebody who needs you to tell them what to do? Or do you understand Reiki as a spiritual practice, meaning it's both healing and empowering? When people make their own informed choices, they have a solid foundation on which to build their health and happiness. They're likely to see you as a peer and as an expert in your field, rather than glom onto you. If you convince someone, you're locked in an unequal relationship, always having to live up to your client's expectations and hold their approval. That might seem like an aside, but when it comes to addressing objections, it's very important that you remain in service rather than trying to manipulate an outcome, even if you think it's an outcome that benefits everyone. That takes a lot of self-awareness. And if you practice daily self-Reiki, you're better equipped to monitor your own state, to remain steady so you can serve. If you've been practicing daily self-Reiki for a while, you've probably noticed already that your threshold for feeling stressed has improved. I've mentioned serving a couple of times here, and I want to be clear that serving doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. On the contrary, it means you have clear, compassionate boundaries. You don't get sucked into manipulating or making other people's decisions for them, even if they want you to. Addressing objections is a time when you can shine, when you can showcase what your Reiki practice has brought to you. You become the living product of your practice, a beacon for the kind of health, happiness, and self-love that Reiki practice can bring. If the person is looking for a Reiki practitioner, this conversation gives you a chance to show how you would partner them. They're seeing you in action. Having a productive conversation with someone about an objection sometimes means walking them into their knee-jerk no or resistance. You're better able to do that if you're not trying to get the sale. Being there in service and helping them get clarity can make a huge difference in their lives and will bring you a lot of confidence. If they leave the conversation with a better understanding of how Reiki can help them, maybe even beginning to realize this is something they could do, then you've truly served them and you've probably grown yourself. You've learned because you've listened. Addressing objections is a lot about listening. People often really don't understand their own objections. They may be a little uncomfortable. Deep, active listening helps them feel more comfortable. They experience that you're interested in them, that you value them and you want to support them, and that helps them relax. If, on the other hand, you're trying to make a sale, they're aware of your ulterior motive and they won't trust you. ask a question to help them start talking about themselves. Listen and ask another question that will help them get clearer about what their objection is. So you're not talking as much as you're listening, not nearly as much. And when you say something, it's very specific. It's very meaningful to them. In my experience over decades of professional Reiki practice and daily self-Reiki, there are three kinds of objections that can come up. So let's take a quick look at each one. The first objection, and this can come up in a conversation at a cocktail party, or you know, whenever you're meeting somebody and you're introduced as a Reiki practitioner. And that's the objection to Reiki practice itself. The person may make a comment along the lines of, well, I just don't believe in that. Reiki practice actually has nothing to do with belief, or it has no more to do with belief than anything else does, because belief is a very powerful factor in life. The neuroscience of nervous system self-regulation is irrefutable at this point. We have 70 years of research, starting with Hans Selye, that documents the damage of stress, of living in chronic sympathetic overdrive. I go into this in detail in my trainings, but I'm sure that you've heard of it already. It's really helpful for people to realize there's a predictable physiologic response to Reiki practice that's balancing and healing and really doesn't have anything to do with belief. There isn't any real controversy about that physiologic response. And there is a beginning, an emerging of body of science that explores that and documents it. In other words, everybody who has experienced Reiki practice probably agrees that they feel better afterwards, that it was somehow relaxing. And they may not know why, they may be a little perplexed, but that sense of well-being, of being more centered, more relaxed, more focused, you know the things that you hear from your clients. The controversy doesn't come around that, around the response to Reiki practice. It shows up around the stories that people wrap around the practice. So you want to get clear, is it the experience of Reiki practice that the person objects to, or is it the way it's been presented to them? Let them know there's no regulation around Reiki practice, and I'd like to go on the record as agreeing with that. As a spiritual practice, Reiki practice should not be regulated by the government. The other side of that is that people practice and discuss Reiki according to their own understanding. They often don't draw a distinction between their beliefs, the story they wrap around Reiki practice, and facts. So just because someone says something about Reiki doesn't mean it's true. As with meditation, Reiki practice, the technique itself, is belief neutral, but people can dress it up in their beliefs. However, you don't have to. So making that distinction for yourself, understanding that distinction, and then being able to impart it to people who maybe are a little new age phobic. You know, they may find that when somebody starts speaking new age language that they just get turned off, so they can't hear anything more. And in this conversation, maybe the best you can hope for is that the person leaves understanding that what they objected to about Reiki doesn't really pertain to all of Reiki practice, that it's really the perspective of some rather than the facts of the practice. And as part of that conversation, they may now appreciate that the response to Reiki practice is that the body self-regulates, the nervous system self-regulates. There's a balancing self-healing response that arises from deep within the receiver's own system. And that's why, regardless what is going on with them, people almost invariably report feeling better after a Reiki session. The second type of objection is the objection to purchasing services or spending money. And this is an objection that's most likely to come up in what is essentially a sales conversation. Someone is looking for Reiki services, has somehow connected with you, and you're looking for clients. So the conversation is to see if it's a good fit. Stay there. Stay in that understanding that this is an exploration. We're looking to see if we're a good fit. And again, having a grounding in service. And then at some point you hear that dreaded sentence. The prospective client says, "I just can't afford it." We never know exactly what people are saying when they say they can't afford something. So you might ask, would you schedule if money weren't an issue for you at this time? And if the person says, "No, probably not," well, that's the end of the conversation, and you thank them for their time and go about your day. But if the person says, "Yes, of course, I really would love to do this. I think it's very valuable," then you might say, "Do I have your permission to explore this with you?" If the person says yes, you can ask, "What is your budget for this? What are you able to afford?" Now, sometimes people don't know what they can afford, and so you want to help them articulate to you what they see as the value. But if they come up with a number, you know, if your sessions are $150 or euro, and they say, "Well, you know, I could afford $100, then you can say, "Okay, that leaves a gap of $50 or 50 euro. Is there anywhere that you might be able to find that money? Maybe something you could do without for a few weeks so you can see how much better you could be feeling and what it's worth to you." You know, asking questions like that, gently questioning and listening, can help people get to their often hidden belief that is fueling their no. Do not give the person a reading. Don't say things like, "They're not ready yet." That sounds, and maybe is, so judgmental. We don't know what people are going through. we're there in that conversation to be of service. Maybe they just can't imagine themselves feeling better. And they're protecting themselves from disappointment or failure. You can't tell them that directly. In fact, you don't know. But if you stay in productive, safe conversation, it can come out. Draw out their concern. Don't be afraid of it. Are they afraid it won't work for them? You can maybe find out more about why they're interested in Reiki practice, and you could share some stories. And always share them as stories. You know, it's not proof. So we never know the specifics of how Reiki practice will help somebody. But we also know it's not a gamble. You might, if you feel comfortable, and if it's somewhere that this is possible, offer them a few minutes of what I call a Reiki touch sample. You say, you know, do you want to sit down over here in the corner and you can face the wall and I'll stand behind you and I'll just place my hands on the crown of your head or on your shoulders for a few minutes so you can have a sense of what Reiki touch feels like. You can ask questions gently, like, how much is it worth to you to feel like yourself again? It sounds like it's been a long time since you felt creative and loving and excited by the challenges of life rather than feeling burdened. Spending money to feel better and function better makes sense. If you can partner the person in exploring, they may get to a place where it makes sense to them in that moment and they're willing to book a session. And sometimes there are very real financial challenges. If that's the case, you can decide if you want to modify your fees and how you would do that. If this is somebody that you feel drawn to work with, that who you feel is sincere and a good fit for you. The third type of objection is the objection to you. Everything else might be going well, but the person is somehow not comfortable with you, and you're sensing that. Stay in service. Slow down. The tendency when you realize that is to speed up, but that just makes people more uncomfortable. You want to slow down. And as with the other objections, it's good to get the person to express themselves. Because you can learn a lot, and also because the person is going to learn more from their self-expression and their self-exploration than from having you tell them. So there might be a point at which you say something like, I'm wondering if there's another concern that you're shy to bring out in the open. I'm wondering if maybe you don't feel comfortable enough with me. If that's the case, let me help you find someone who's a more comfortable fit. You know, not everybody is an easy fit, and we all deserve to find a practitioner that we feel a rapport with. If you can do that and you can stay steady, you're letting them know you understand. You're actually giving them the space not to be comfortable with you, which may actually make them be more comfortable with you. You're also, again, as I mentioned a bit earlier, giving the person a chance to see how you would partner them as a practitioner. Because maybe this discomfort is just superficial and you can get past that. And maybe it's not. Please keep in mind that the objection to you really isn't about you. It's just about the fit. Like the prospective client, you deserve to work with people who are a good fit for you. You don't want to be walking on eggshells, anxious about whether they're comfortable or whether you've offended them in some way that you don't understand. It's not that you don't want to help the person. It's that maybe you just don't want to spend time with them. So you're helping them by supporting their clarity so they know where to look for what they want. To tie this all together, stay steady. Be a walking product of your practice. Check in and get permission from the other person along the way. Do not plow past boundaries. Keep it a conversation. Avoid launching into a monologue. Come from a place of service and share relevant, requested information. And now, I encourage you to take a few minutes to self-practice, and then you might want to listen again, especially if there was any piece that you had an objection to. Practice first, go back and listen to that part again and see if it feels any different. Thank you so much for your time. I hope that this has been helpful to you.